So, palms pressed together, we say the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Now, consider this opening. Our mouths is the mandala that's emitting those sacred syllables, those sacred sounds, those sacred words. Take the mandala and with your breath, blow that quality of toward the one, united with all, into the palms of your hands. And take it and pour it upon yourself and through yourself as a blessing. So, we've been working with a theme in this class called the deeper side of life. And this one is that the next part of the title is life exclamation point, an opportunity to accomplish and the power of feeling. And if you'll give me just a moment, I have my beads that we're going to want to use in a little bit to count on, tangled. So now they're here. Available. Bismillah. So there's this phrase of Inayat Khan's, and it says this: every moment has a special meaning. Every moment has a special meaning. Imagine that. How many moments pass without us realizing that every moment has a special meaning? This teaching goes on to say, if we only understood that every moment in life, every day, every month, every year has its particular blessing. If we only knew life's opportunity, but the greatest opportunity that one can realize in life is to accomplish that purpose for which we have been sent on earth. I have read this so many times in preparation for this class, and there are few of these phrases that just still me. And so I'm going to read this one again because it's one of them. But the greatest opportunity that one can realize in life is to accomplish that purpose for which we have been sent on earth. And it's made me wonder, and perhaps you might think it as well. Are we all sent here for the same purpose? Or is there a unifying purpose that we're here? But also, as it said, we are like individual rays from the Son of God. And do we have our own unique purpose, our own special mission to contribute while we're here? It's something to ponder and do think about it because I think it's meaningful. And I think that phrase is very potent. The teaching goes on to say, and if we have lost that opportunity, then whatever may have been accomplished in the world, whether we have gathered wealth, possess much property, or have made a great name, we will not be satisfied. So Murshidin is sort of indicating here that satisfaction of the soul is beyond outward circumstances. And if any of you've read the stories of the saints or people like Mahatma Gandhi or Sri Aurobindo or Nelson Mandela, you know that even in the most dire of circumstances, people have gained great realization and inner power. And so, outward circumstances, while they maybe are momentarily rewarding, we're sort of looking for a bigger reward than that in our lives and in our expression of the divine through our lives, we could say. Murshid says, if one's eyes are opened and a person begins to look at the world, they will find there is a greater opportunity than one had ever thought before. And so he uses the word look. I would like to also think of the word see, because looking at something is rather passive, but seeing, and you know, in other parts of the teachings of Murshid's in the Sufi message, he talks about this penetrating through the veils, you know, to look and see beyond the veils, and also to develop insight through this penetrating concentration. I think there's an indication here of that in this sentence. Hazrat Anayat Khan goes on to say, one is as poor as one is. One is as limited as one is, as troubled as one is. And yet, there's nothing in this world which could not be accomplished if only we knew what thought can do. If only we knew what thought can do. And in the Bull of Saki, it came to my mind as I was reading this, so I'd like to use this quote. This is from January 13th, and it says, thought draws the line of fate. Thought draws the line of fate. And so we have to think, we have to examine our thoughts and be mindful of what we're thinking, because it does draw the line of fate. And I know I've said this so many times, and everyone that's usually in the class has heard it. But, you know, when my mother had cancer, and I'm happy to say she had it for many years and lived in a very vital way until her passing. But I remember one time, she kind of dealt with her cancer in this, like, a kind of denial, like, okay, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do, but I'm not sure I'm really sick, which was kind of a very way to, you know, was healthy for her. And she would sit on the edge of the examining table, like a little girl, and she'd dangle her feet. She goes, I'm not worried. I'm going to pray. I have a lot of faith. Everything will be okay. And it was. She was given a very dire diagnosis of a rare cancer that wasn't treatable in the beginning. And she lived for almost 15 more years. So you see, faith and thought. Then this was the reply of her doctor. He said, I would never take that kind of faith or hope away from you, Maggie. And what I know as a man of science is that form follows thought. Just what Murshid is saying here. Just what Murshid is saying. Once one's eyes are open and a person begins to look or see the world, they will find there's a greater opportunity than they ever thought before. And again, thought draws the line of fate. Thought draws the line of fate. So what we think we are creating in this world. So be mindful of that and notice a sort of train of thought. You know, they use that word train of thought, we're on the tracks, we're on a train of thought. And can we shift the track and maybe get on another train of thought when we're heading down, you know, a path that's maybe not altogether hopeful or faithful or graceful or whatever you can call it. I know I have to do that with myself, and I'm sure, I mean, maybe all of you are better at it, but I every day have to start with my prayers and remind myself of that. And of course, people are subject to the influences external to themselves, the influences arising from their inner state, maybe their health, and so forth. And so, you know, we just have to be mindful and careful and sort of regroup and redirect our thoughts, try to put them on God, really, and faith and hope and love. The most important is love. So Murshid goes on in this teaching, and if you're on our website or on our mail list, and we'll talk about that attune in a little bit after the presentation of the class, there is a link that's sent out, and we do have the audio recording, the video recording, and my study guide that I'm reading from is also there, so you can reflect on that if you wish to do that. And if you stay after class, if you're not currently on our mail list and you wish to be, We'll figure out how to get you on it, okay? Murshid goes on to say, it is ignorance which keeps us from what we ought to accomplish. It is ignorance that keeps us from what we ought to accomplish. A person should know, he says should, he uses that word, not could, not might. A person should know how to operate their thought. Now, if you've studied other traditions, in Sufism, actually, there's a great deal of emphasis put on the art of concentration. We see that in Buddhism. One-pointed concentration is what it's called. We see that in the Christian faiths where we focus on either a crucifix or an image of a saint that we have a connection to. So this idea of we become what we concentrate on. We become what we concentrate on. So be mindful of that. So then again, it is ignorance which keeps us from what we ought to accomplish. A person should know how to operate their thought, how to accomplish certain things, how to focus one's mind on the object that should be accomplished. If one does not know this, then one has made use, not, excuse me, if one does not know this, then one has not made use of their mind, but has lived like a machine. So this is quite profound, because again, I think it implies that we can be so, if we don't have this deep rooted concentration and focus and attention on this inner spark, this inner light, and operating from that point of view, we're under all kinds of influences and we become unsteady and reactionary and and who wants that? I think, as Gandhi said, we want to be the change we wish to see in the world. And so through our practice, through our dedication, through concentrating on beauty, love, harmony, and beauty, Murshid's motto, we can be that force for change and love and light, being that light for ourselves and others, illuminating our own path and helping others, giving joy, giving life, giving light. So there's a practice that I'd like to pause and do because I think it really relates to this subject that we've covered so far. And I don't think it's one, if it has been, it's been a very long time that we've done it as our group. And the sacred word, the divine word is Ya-ja-bar. And there's a little roll of the R. Ja, and there's an emphasis on the B sound. It's spelled J-A-B-B. It's a double B-A-R. And the emphasis is on the bar, little R, rolling Y. Okay, the emphasis on the B is, it kind of, what the meaning is, the restorer, the repair, the compeller, the irresistible. What does the irresistible mean? It's kind of this uncontrollable urge in the most positive way. So this from the B is like popping a cap or popping a can or, loosening a seal. So it opens the way for this this uncontrollable compelling towards our goal. So think of that, because these sounds are very important. They're not just meaningless. They're very, very important. And the r, chapar, the r is like it keeps that vibration going and going. So a little bit more about Jabbar. It's the divine name, the divine one who irresistibly compels things to come aright, irresistibly compels things to come aright. So by using this sacred word, it's like a prayer, it's a friend, it's a guardian. We can compel that from within ourselves to come aright. It also means to compel each and everything to come into accordance with divine will. How important is this? Because if our will, our individual personal will and divine will come into harmony, what is it said? It could move mountains. Our faith can move mountains. So this is a very important aspect of Jabbar. It's also, it's often used, the translation is irresistible, irresistibly compelling. But again, we could say it's uncontrollably compelling. We'd like to have a steady boat, so maybe irresistibly compelling. And it's to confer benefit. Now, I'd like to pause here and just say, Ya-Jabbar, 33 times. And then I'd like to read something else. We're going to keep going deeper and deeper, and then we'll say it again. Okay, so shall we do it together? We'll go 33 times. Ya-Jabbar. 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 Let's stop for a moment. What is it that you wish? What did you wish in this moment for yourself? In this moment for yourself, let's use this practice to compel ourselves towards that. It may be healing. It may be insight. It may be strength. It may be deepening faith. It may be courage. Whatever that is, take a moment. I'll give you a few moments of silence. And then we'll go back to the practice and continue and compel ourselves, concentrating on that, towards that. And let us begin. Ya-Jabbar. 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 Bar. Ya-Jabbar. 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 Bar. Ya ja 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 bar. A few breaths, feel the vibration of that quality of the divine enlivened within every cell of your being, singing and chanting, Ya-Jabbar. Now, I'd like to read something. This is from The Sufi Book of Life by Neil Douglas Klotz. And some of you may know him from his other books. He's written a lot on the translation of the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic and other translations. He's given great gifts to the world. He's also the founder of the Abun organization, which again is the vehicle for disseminating understanding and awareness of the Lord's Prayer in its translation from Aramaic. He was also one of the founding members of the Dances of Universal Peace, so you may have been acquainted with those. He is a murshid, and I'd like to consider him a friend and a confidant at times. So this is from his book again. It's called The Sufi Book of Life. And he's writing about Jabbar. He says, perhaps something in your life, perhaps something in our life, inner and outer, needs repair or restoration. Life is calling us now to take action, to take oneself in hand. Instead of being afraid that you can't do it, allowing yourself to feel the one being, allow yourself to feel the one being acting through you. This pathway of the heart asks for concentrated, creative energy. Traditional translations of this quality includes the compeller and the irresistible. The root JB, and I want to pause here for a moment because it's so important to realize that this comes from the Arabic language. And in Arabic, if you've studied it or you know it or you speak it in any way, excuse me for taking time to explain this, but it's important to note. And this is why you can find so many different kinds of transliterations of text from Arabic. It is a consonant-based language, meaning that the written script, which moves from right to left, the lines, which appear to be squiggle lines, are connected, but they're consonants, only consonants. The meaning of the word changes when the vowel markings are added to that consonant line of text. There are, for example, and I have seen them, I had the good fortune of spending time in Morocco and visiting the Royal Library of the King. There are some very ancient Qurans there. They don't have those marks of the vowel sound, which leaves them completely open to transliteration and interpretation. You can see that sometimes you read things, maybe also such things as the Bible or Zoroastrian text or whatever you might be interested in studying or have studied for your various practices along the way. But many of these languages, and here we're speaking specifically of Arabic, don't have those markings. Or if they do, they get added, they can totally change the word. So here, Murshid Sadi, his spiritual name is Sadi, explains it. The root JB, so Jabbar, indicates the creative power of the one, the compeller, the creative power, compelling us. Enclosed and working, so it's the limited power of the one, enclosed and working within the organic limits of nature and creation itself. So this compelling exists within limitation, but also within creation itself. You know, Pierre Valaille would always say to us, just imagine. The universe is constantly self-creating. It started from the Big Bang. It's moving out into space in front of us. We're witnessing it from light years away through these great telescopes, but it's a self-creating, evolving universe. Well, that's, bam, Jabbar. That's that spark, that Big Bang. Jabbar, it can build everything into existence. Imagine that. How powerful that is. So he goes on to say, this power heals wounds. So if there's something in you that is just sorrowing, let that go in and touch that place to heal it. To heal it. It repairs bridges. Okay, are we talking about physical bridges or bridges between self and divine, self and other? Bridges of communication, all kinds of metaphorical bridges. We can repair that. We can create a bridge to connect. So it creates a connection. It closes circles. How important is that to be able to draw things to completion, to begin anew again, not clinging, evolving like the universe? And it makes things all in the right time. So timing is relevant. He goes on to say, the same root appears in the Arabic word jabara. Now it's spelled with one B, J-A-B-A-R-A, G-A-B-A-R-A. And it means to restore or to set a broken bone. The second half of the word bar, B-A-R, shows that this restorative and creative power gives birth through divine light and intelligence. And last month, we worked, our Murid circle, our student circle, worked with the practice Alim, Alim. And of course, that does mean divine light and intelligence, the light of divine intelligence. He concludes with saying in this text, we naturally bow to this power. We naturally bow to this power. In this sense, Jabbar is also what compels us to wonder at God's creation and to surrender to the power behind it. Surrender to the power behind it. Okay. So let's use Yah Jabbar, thinking this. Again, focusing on something in one's life and compel our concentration, our thoughts towards that to manifest it. Ya Jabbar, 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 Ya Jabbar. Take a few breaths, let that vibration go deep, deep into one's being. Let every cell take a sip, and in that sip, the nectar of Jabbar. Hope this is useful to you and meaningful. I've been very happy to prepare this class and to offer it, so I'm glad you're here with me. Murshid Anayat Khan goes on in his teachings to say, if we knew the power of feeling, now he's shifting, I want to bring your attention to that. He's been talking about thought. Now he's shifting to feeling. If we knew the power of feeling and realized that power of feeling, it can reach anywhere and penetrate anything. We could achieve whatever we might wish. Now, let's just take a moment and think about this in a very special but could be considered mundane way. Think about the love that you have for, or just the feeling of when you first fell in love. And that could be with a person. It could be with a form of study. It could be with nature. It could be with an animal. But that deep love, that burning love, that Nothing is going to keep you away from that object of love. As you just think about it all the time, that you long for it all the time, that you want to be in the presence of that thing or person or environment all the time. Well, that's the feeling. That's the feeling. Invoke that in yourself. Feel that passion. This is what Rumi talks about in Burning Passion. And this kind of longing is what Ishkala Mabur Allah means. Seeking love through the lover and making it one's beloved. It's that deep, deep feeling, that urging. So that urging, wishing to merge. Oh my gosh, if we only had that all the time for God, think about it. So, and God is in all forms. So we have it wherever we have the potential to have it, wherever we look, whatever we're feeling. But thought is a little bit different than feeling. And Marshall's going to talk about that. And if you give me a moment, I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to use a chart that we talked about in a whole series of teachings last year when we were talking about lifting the veil over the heart. And if you're interested and you haven't been here before for these teachings, you simply go to sufi-message.org. Again, sufi-message.org. There you can also find a way to contact me. You can also look at all the archives of the teachings for many, many years back to 2007. We were starting broadcasting and recording. They are in the teaching that's called Teachings and Events. And then you'll see there's a link for attend a class, but there's also the link of archives and it's by year. So if you're interested in that subject also of, you know, polishing the heart, you know, lifting the veils off the heart, those are there. And this chart was used for many of those classes. But I'd like to refer back to it again because it's meaningful here. So if you give me a moment, I'm going to make that switch. And okay. So here we can see these are concentric circles. And I want to talk a little bit about this in terms of feeling where it resides and also in relationship to Jabbar. So you can see that at the very center, there's this pure consciousness. This is, we could say, unmanifested consciousness, the consciousness of God. That comes through our individuated souls. And again, Murshid mentioned our discovering our purpose, our mission on earth. Perhaps that has been transmitted to our soul. And then this is given expression through the heart, through the feeling realm. And then through the heart, we articulate our feelings through the mind, which is thought. And last, it manifests through our body, in our manner, in our speech, how we are with others, how we are with ourselves. Now, it can also be thought of this way. As we move from consciousness, and you'll notice that I've made a subtle shift in the depth of the color, things become more concrete. So, of course, consciousness is very subtle. It's amorphous. It's perhaps even undefined. It's just pure consciousness. As it comes into manifestation, it enters into the soul being manifest. Again, the heart has feeling. Let's take it even to look at it in this way. When a child is pre-verbal, how do they express things? Through their heart, through happiness, through sadness, through crying, through being grumpy. That's kind of those feelings that get expressed. They're very valuable. And our heart is also something that we have to pay attention to, those feelings, and know that feelings are fleeted. And just like thoughts, we want to be mindful of the kinds of feelings that arise and how we transmit those feelings. But the heart is very subtle. In fact, in Murshid's teachings on the elementals, He takes us right from the solar plexus up to the crown. And when we do the practice of zikr, which I think most of you have done, he says that we allow the head to strike on L and let the vibration rise to the heart. But the heart is so sensitive. We don't ever just hit on the heart. It's a reflector of what's in this deep heart, the solar plexus. But mind is even more solid. And mind, sometimes the rational mind, our thinking mind, can almost get in the way of our feeling. I'm sure that we've all had that experience. And then, of course, we express it in the body. So there's many layers of this, but we want to be mindful of them because I think that we can easily look at these also as a kind of cartography or map for our health and well-being of body, heart, and soul, as Murshid would say. In the prayer, Niyazi talks about that, heal our bodies, hearts, and our souls. So I wanted to show you this, and then I wanted to read this sentence again. If we knew the power of feeling and realized that the power of feeling can reach anywhere and penetrate anything, we can achieve whatever we might wish. So taking this idea of feeling, letting it go deeper in or higher, however you perceive this, because this could be concentric circles moving deeper or concentric circles moving higher, but allowing that feeling to penetrate these different layers, going deep into the soul and the consciousness and moving out through the mind, giving expression through our thoughts and even in our body, the manner of our body. So think about that. And let's now, you don't need to concentrate so much on the thought. You don't need to memorize this. I will put this link to this chart on the website. But I just kind of wanted to infuse your mind stream with this and the idea that, you know, we're not solid. We're all of these things in motion, moving all the time together, undulating our existence. So let's now say Jabbar another 33 times. And think about this, because again, what you're concentrating on, what your thought is, does draw that line of fate. And we want to, we want Jabbar to also to go into the consciousness and also come out through our body, speech, and mind. Okay, so feelings, body, speech, mind, so forth. Okay. And let's do Ya Jabbar another 33 times. I'll leave this open if you just want to look at it and let that enter your being. Ya Jabbar, 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 Ya Jabbar. Take a moment. Heal your body. Sense your feelings. Look into your thoughts. Let all these aspects be infused with Jabbar. Jabbar. I'm going to leave this up while I read these few more sentences, and then I'll peer back on the screen. Again, continuing with the teaching by Hazrat and Icon, to realize the power of feeling and to express it is a great opportunity which life offers. But a still greater opportunity of life is to free oneself from the captivity of limitations. To free oneself from the captivity of limitations. So again, when we look at this chart, you know, we can do the dialectics of, you know, are you your body? Are you your mind? Are we our body? Are we our mind? Are we our heart? Are we our soul? Are we our consciousness? Are we our consciousness? Are we our soul? Are we our heart? Are we our mind? We are our body. We are all these things. And yet we're none of these things. We're beyond that. Even if one could catch a glimpse of that for a moment, it would free oneself. We could free ourselves. Everyone is a captive in some form or other. Life is limited in some form or other. But one can get above this limitation by realizing the latent power and inspiration of the soul. So again, we look at consciousness. Unindividuated. It becomes individuated when that consciousness enters the soul. The soul feels through the heart, it thinks through the mind, and it expresses through the body. So here Murshid says, everyone is captive in some form or other. Life is limited in some form or other, but one could get above the limitations by realizing the latent power and inspiration of the soul. And that's what this whole teaching's about, this question of why are we here on earth? You know, this power and inspiration of the soul. So to continue, and then we'll have a final practice and a few more sentences. And then we'll conclude. And if you wish to stay after you have questions or comments, I'm here. Murshid now in this teaching quotes the great poet Kabir. And Kabir says this, life is a field, and you, we are born to cultivate it. And this is the translation. And if you know how to cultivate this field, you can produce anything you like, above limitations, connecting to the power and inspiration latent in the soul. So again, uninterrupted, I'll start again. Life is a field and you can be born to cultivate it. And if you know how to cultivate this field, you can produce anything you like. All the need of your life can be produced in this field. All that your soul yearns after and all that you need to be got from the field, if you know how to cultivate it and how to reap the fruit. So we could use Jabbar to compel us towards that field and the cultivation of the field and the reaping of the fruit. I think I would like to now introduce another sacred name, divine name. And we worked with this last month, but I think it really is a good one to bring into this class, this session. And it's Yahvatah, Yahvatah. And I will again reiterate what we learned last month and repeat this. Fatah, we know. If you've been in Sufi circles, it means the opener of the way, the revealer. It also means the grantor of success. So you can see how this is important in this class to find the field, to cultivate the field, and to reap the fruit from the field. The grantor of success, Yavata. Now, I'm going to read about it, but then I want to talk about the consonant-based language again and the aspiration of this sacred friend. I call them my friends. So it means the one that lifts the veil. So when we say Vata, we're lifting the veil. You know, we're veiled and we're lifting the veil. And that veil reveals the heart, the feeling again that Mershit's talking about in these teachings. It's the one who unties knots and softens that which is hardened. And we know that's true. I often feel that way. In fact, I kind of felt that way this week. It was like, I call them being like in knot holes of the universe. And you know, you just have to struggle a little bit and then you'll get right through it. Or it's almost like Winnie the Pooh getting stuck looking for the honey. It's like that. The universe gives us those opportunities. And it, you know, it's the trick is not to get hardened, but to stay soft so that we can wiggle through those points. Okay, the one that opens the door to success. The one that holds the keys to victory and success. Victory, inner victory. Those of you that have been with me before, you've heard me say this phrase that I learned from Sri Karuna Maima. She'd say, whenever you feel like you're breaking bricks or rocks in life, say, Inqilab, Zindabad. And as she says, it's spiritual victory now. Inqilab Zindabad. So it's the one that holds those keys to success, victory and success, Inqilab Zindabad. And it's the one that reveals the solution to all problems. So it's the opener of the way, but it's all these other things. It's the one that holds the keys to victory and success. It's the one that shows us solutions to our problems. We get stuck sometimes in our own thinking, but Yavata can open the way for us. It can lift the veils. It can untie those knots. It can soften parts in us that have been hardened. So can we say this practice? We'll say it 33 times, but I will say I usually, for myself, and what I usually prescribe for others is 101, and it the way it has been given to me by my initiator and Mershita was the first 34 parts, if you have a mala or a prayer beat, the first 33 are said with Yah in front. And why is that? Because that's a sign of respect. And it's also invoking that vibration into the atmosphere in a very respectful, loving way. It's like saying, oh, my dear opener of the way, the one that is the grantor of success. You wouldn't say, hey, come on over here. You'd really speak in a very loving, kind, gentle, affectionate way. So that Yah is that. So we say Yah Vata. And then she described it as, after a while, you have the attention of that friend. So, you know, they're closer to you. So you can now just whisper in their ear. So she always described it, you let go of the Yah, there's more intimacy in the connection. And then you just say Vata. And then she said, finally, in the end, there's no need for even the words. You just allow the sound and the vibration to circulate on the breath. So the first 34 is with Yah, the beginning of any of the sacred names, sacred phrases, sacred friends, sacred guardians of these attributes. And then the next is just a whisper, more intimate, more close. And then there's no need for words. We just whisper. The other analogy she used to give, like setting a nail. You know, when you first set the nail, you hold it and you kind of give it some good hard taps. And then it's set and you tap, 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 till you get it to the place where it's going to be. Then you hang something on it. So it's like that energy. Okay. Now, Fatah, let's talk about that. Like Jabbar, Fatah has two consonants together, and that's T. Wow, did you all see that? Or did I just see that? Did you see the balloons? Someone maybe is sending us balloons and happiness and joy. Isn't that? I've never seen that. Thank you, whoever sent those. Fatah. Okay, so Fatah, we say Fatah. It's like the bar on the bar, but ta is really, boy, you feel that. I do, at least in the heart center. And then there's a little aspiration. We don't use this in our English language, but at the end, it's Fatah. We breathe a little bit extra. So it's sending that out like a whisper, you know, like a mystical vibration that goes into the atmosphere. And most of you that know me know that I spent some time in the Middle East and learned a little bit of Arabic, a little bit. Coconut's pretty thick, so not so much, but enough to be able to address people properly. But one of the things is that when you live in countries like that, we have this proper distance that we call personal space. But in those countries, it's nothing for someone to come very close to you because it is said that you share the breath. So you see this idea of Fatah. It allows the breath to continue and you share it in a way with the atmosphere around you. But if we were meeting in the Middle East and talking, we would share the breath. It's called sharing the breath. So think about that. It's important for me. It brings a different level of meaning to these words and to the expressions and how we say them. So it'll be ya fatah. We let the aspiration continue a bit. And I know Safiya has studied Chinese and Sanskrit, and I know that she knows the importance of aspiration and tone. Tone in a lot of the Asian languages also changes the meaning and speed. So let's say ya fatah, and then we'll read a little bit more. And then I want to speak a little bit more about fatah, and then we'll close. Is everybody okay to stick with me? Yes. Is it okay to continue? You're ready to move forward? Okay. Can you hear me? So let's go. So we're going to use 33 times. Ya fatah. 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 Ya fatah, 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 ya fatah. Ya fatah. If we were to continue, then we just do it on the breath, breathing in fatah and out fatah and in fatah and out fatah. And then we would go to the silence. Ya fatah. Feel that. And can you maybe even sense there's a bit of a connection to Jabbar and Fatah? One opens the way and one compels one through it. So a few more words from Hazrat Night Khan on the subject. I'll go back for a moment. I want to read. He says, I read that last sentence before Kabir because it connects to this thought. Everyone is a captive in some form or other. Life is limited in some form or other, but one could get above this limitation by realizing the latent power and inspiration of the soul. And then he says, but if this opportunity is only studied in order to make the best of life by taking all that one can take and by being more comfortable, that is not satisfying. It's interesting to think about it. I mean, how many times have maybe you in your own life accomplished something and then you think, well, that's not it. There's got to be more. My students have done that. I think you all know that I taught graphic design and visual communications at the college level. And you know, I haven't been teaching for some years. I retired, but I still have students communicate with me. And some of them say that. You know, it was such a big deal to graduate and be able to get a job. And now what? They say, you know, there's got to be something more to life. And so they review these teachings when they can, because they realize there has to be something more. There is something more. The inner life is very, very, very significant to our well-being. So anyway, think about that. So he says, again, but if this opportunity is only studied in order to make the best of life, by taking all that one can take and by being more comfortable, that is not satisfying. We must enrich ourselves with thought. With thought, with that happiness, which is spiritual happiness, and that peace, which belongs to our soul. With that liberty, that freedom for which our soul longs, that liberty, that freedom for which our soul longs, and attain to that higher knowledge which breaks through the fetters of life and raises our consciousness to look at life from a different point of view, a bigger point of view. Those of you that have studied the Native American tradition, there's that tale of Little Mouse and Hawk or Eagle. And, you know, Little Mouse, which is a value too. I mean, we want to be able to look at things in great detail. So Little Mouse only sees this, can be maneuvered through its nose. And so it sees the minute. And oh my God, if we need to do detail work, how wonderful is that to be able to invoke Little Mouse? But sometimes we can be stuck in the minutia and we need to get the big view, like Hawk or Eagle, soaring from above and getting that big perspective. And you know, Murshid says that one of the distinguishing features of being a Sufi is to be able to look at life from one's own point of view and that of another. And that can go with politics, religion, finance, whatever you want to talk about. It's good to take the one's point of view, but look at the point of view of the other, because they are just as firm in their commitment to their point of view. Then we don't have to give up our point of view, but perhaps coming to an understanding and at least respect is a good idea. And Murshid teaches us that in many, many ways. That's what really the whole Sufi message was about, spiritual liberty and freedom. And then Murshid goes on to say, and I'm going to read this one more time. We must enrich ourselves with thought, with that happiness, which is spiritual happiness, with that peace, which belongs to our soul, with that liberty, that freedom, for which our soul longs, and attain to a higher knowledge, which breaks all the fetters of life and raises our consciousness to look at life from a different point of view. And he says, once a person, once we, once you, once me, once all of us has realized this opportunity, one has fulfilled the purpose of life. And that's a capital L, life. So I want to read a little bit more of Yafata. Maybe we'll do another little practice and then we'll close with our prayers and dedication of merit. And I'd like to read here on Yafata from Physicians of the Heart. Some of you know that text very well. You may even own it. It's a book. You can look that up online, Physicians of the Heart. And it is a book that is on the 99 Divine Names of God. And it's produced by the Sufi Rouhaniyat International Order. And I had the great privilege of designing the cover and giving directions for the interior design as well. So I'm very proud of that book, not because I had anything to do with it, but because of the content has made, I think, in a very significant way, these teachings on the sacred names accessible to a Western audience. And you may know that there were several people that were involved in that. Some of you, Salia, she's still here. You know that Pir Zia was involved, Pir Zia Night Khan, Pir Shabda Khan, Murshid Wali Ali, Imam Bala Hyde. So there were many minds that went into the writing of this book, this text, and Murshid Wali Ali. It was a beautiful effort on his part to edit all of those conversations and to manifest them into writing. So here we go. This is from Physicians of the Heart. This is on Yafatah. Yafatah is an enlightenment that keeps happening. Fatah. Enlightenment, lifting the veils, getting clarity. It's an enlightenment that keeps happening. Al-Fatah brings great power to clear the way of obstacles and to open the path of your life for success. It is the one who opens the heart to love and ecstasy. Al-Fatah means to open something with something else, a key. A key. It is the key to opening the heart to Allah, the key to opening the heart to God, the key to finding God within soul. Yafatah is a very powerful practice because even in the midst of despair, it brings the possibility of awakening love and ecstasy. Even in the midst of despair, it opens the possibility of awakening to love and ecstasy. Its activity in us is opening up the veils of darkness over the heart to uncover the light within. Polishing the heart, clearing the dust from the heart. And as Pir Vilayat said, a mirror, meaning our heart, a mirror is never tarnished by the dust that gathers on it or by the images that are cast upon it. It is inherently clear and empty, but Yafatah can help remove those clouds, like in the sky. We sometimes can't always see the sun because of the clouds. Yafatah can clear away those clouds. So 11 times, let's combine these practices. We're going to first say Yafatah, the opener, the clear of the way, and then Yajabar, compelling us towards our soul's purpose, our purpose in life. And it might just be the purpose at this moment, and it may change, but you can use this practice as you evolve in your own life, your own thinking, your own wishes and desires. Be very good. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you for being with us. Ciao. Okay, so let's do 11 times. Yafatah, Yajabar. Yafatah, Yajabar. Yafatah. Ya Jabbar, Ya Fatah, 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 Ya Jabbar. Yafatah, Yajabar. So here we close with dedication of merit. We ask, we pray, we dedicate this time together and ask that if anything has been of merit, that it may continue as Yafatan, ever widening circles, as Yajabar being compelled into the universe so that it may benefit all beings. All beings. And we close with the prayer continuing. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. Amen.